you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Welcome in, everyone. It's 8 p.m. Thursday night, July 16th. I am Dave, that is Jim. We are one half of Keystone State Paranormal Society, and this is Penetrating the Veil, the one-hour internet radio talk show. We're going to have a guest call in about 10 minutes, friend of ours, longtime friend of ours by the name of Steve Hummel. In case you're not familiar with him, Steve Hummel used to run the tours through Moundsville Penitentiary. He also is the creator and curator of the Archives of the Afterlife Paranormal Relics Museum in the Sanford Center, which is also haunted, and also in Moundsville, West Virginia. And he's going to call in to discuss the expo he's hosting this weekend at the Sanford Center, the Haunted Relics Expo. He had asked Jim and I to be a part of that with him, and we had agreed. And then at first we thought we were going to have to back out because of COVID restrictions. But it does look like we're going to make the drive up for the day.
I might see how it feels, if I'm up to it.
So, welcome in Cheryl, John McGinnis, Ruby Hale, Jackson, and Jerry. How are you guys doing? Jenny, I am doing very well, thank you. Much better than I was the other day. I was definitely hurting between the headaches and the sciatic and the body aches. I was down for the count. I didn't have much energy at all, but back up to full strength today. So just in time to finish getting the house back in order, as Jim's wife will return home tomorrow from her loved vacation in Florida. And then, like I said, assuming Jim's up to it, we will be making, or at least I will, and if Jim's up to it, we'll be both of us making the trip to Moundsville for the Haunted Relics Expo. We first met Steve years ago when we did our first investigation at the Moundsville Penitentiary. Hit it off right away, and we've been friends ever since. And this is what, will this be the third time we've done the expo now, I think?
Yeah.
So, your sister says the name, we should change our name to Geriatric State Paranormal Society.
I think so.
I'm not that old yet, so. Welcome in, Debbie Dickey. We did...
I think I'm going to change it to 1 foot in the grave paranormal.
We did do our investigation last Thursday, a week ago today, at the Hinsdale House. And unfortunately, it did not go anywhere near as planned. That house is just entirely too... too powerful energy-wise for just two people. Within minutes of us ending our live show, it put Jim down for the count, and there wasn't much left to do after that.
And I ain't been right since, to be quite honest.
Welcome in, Nancy.
It's been a week. It was a week ago this evening, and I swear to God, I ain't been right since.
Welcome in, Mike Loughton. No, Mike, we're going to do that next week at the on the two-hour show from the Thaddeus Stevens House, even though, unfortunately, the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash had to be canceled. COVID again, damn it. You know, I'm, on a personal note, I'm just about done with all this nonsense.
Yeah, they popped, I guess, the governor today for indoor crowds, like you're limited to 25 people, and Pam and them sort of knew that was coming. So you can't hold the bash in any kind of, I mean, you know, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculousness.
And a matter of fact, you're even limited for outside crowds. I don't think they could even accommodate as many people as they were expecting, even for the outside, with the limits.
And
so,
you know, I'm not going to go into politics. I refuse to do that. That's not what our show is about. But I will say this: when you've got a body politic, regardless of their affiliation party-wise, when you have a body politic that puts things out like this, 25 people in an event inside and only 50 people outside, something like that, and is willing to fine citizens for things, for breaking those policies.
And no restrictions on demonstrations.
Right. Then it no longer becomes about people's health and safety, and it becomes about controlling the populace. And
yeah,
I have a big issue with that. That's all I'm going to say about that. Unfortunately, Pam and Steve did the right thing. It was a very tough decision for them to make.
We totally backed their decision.
I actually called her today, and she's a little sick today too. Steve was sleeping, and she was kind of laying down. She was feeling a little under weather, but I just wanted to make sure that I knew she was going to be down in the dumps. I know how much they look forward to this every year.
And all the effort.
All right, and I wanted to call and make sure if there's any way I could help raise her spirits.
And
it,
in fairness,
so
we'll give a shout-out to the hotel.
The Wyndham.
They were great. They even.
And they still are, because there's plenty of people who are going to come into town anyway, including us. And the Wyndham has told everybody that has paid for those block rooms at that special rate, they will, if they're coming and have not canceled, they still will only pay that special rate.
And they offered to settle it back until later in the year.
Right.
And there again, I mean, it looks like a real sticky trap. I mean, I told Pam, I just didn't see the point in all that planning and stuff, and it's just, there's such a good chance it's all going to go for naught. I mean,
yeah.
I have a feeling until there's a vaccine or something, our lives are screwed. I mean,
until November 5th.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, even with that, I mean, it's, you know, you got all these damn states that are under control by a not to be mentioned party. That's what I need to do, is develop a nuclear bomb that only
is No, we're not going to do all that. We're not going to go into that, Jim. That's not what our show is about.
That's what I feel, though.
Well, that's fine, and then you, and I agree, but you can do a show about that, but that's not what our show is about.
I'm just done.
So tonight, in a few minutes, Steve's going to call in, and he's going to discuss, welcome in, Colette, welcome in, Theo, he's going to discuss Haunted Relics Expo at the Sanford Center in Moundsville. Like I said, we've done this a number of times now. It's always a good time. There's always some really nice people there. Usually, I don't know if he's planning on it this year, but usually he has a new relic that he, I guess, lets out of the box for the first time.
He's got a bunch of people still advertised. Now, just to let everybody know, with the current state of things in West Virginia, for inside groups, you are required to wear a mask. However, West Virginia has a, I guess, sort of an escape clause. If for some reason, health reason, you can't wear a mask, then there can be an exception. So I guess they're just going to have to play everything by ear, too.
Right.
Because what I'm hearing from people that are trying to have events is all around the place, the government is coming in with a heavy hand. It just seems a universal thing, and that's why I just don't think we're going to have anything for this year going forward.
But he's been given his guidelines. Hello, Linda. And he's devised the way to abide by them and still hold this event, which is a good thing. Like I said, if you've never been or never had a chance to get to Moundsville and see the haunted, it's called the Archives of the Afterlife Museum at the Sanford Center. I would highly advise it. He's got a lot of great stuff there. And just go there and just, you know, you don't even have to talk or just kind of go and let the artifacts there kind of pull you in. There's always something that's going to call specifically to you, depending on, you know, like some people prefer investigating abandoned hospitals. Some people prefer investigating private residences, whatever the case may be. And there he is right now, so let's get him in. Hello, Steve. Welcome in, my friend.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing all right, doing all right. We're just letting everybody know that we have, you know, you've gotten your set of guidelines and the things you need to do, and you're still able to pull off the Haunted Relics Expo this Saturday at the Sanford Center. And I was just telling everybody, if you're in and around that area, or even if you're not, it's like for us, it's only a 4-hour drive. Make the trip, man. Go and see it, because there's always going to be something at the Archives of the Afterlife that calls to you. Like for me, it was when you got the cap from the Moundsville Penitentiary that was actually used during executions in the electric chair. So that one always seems to draw my attention.
What's the times on that?
Yeah, what are the times for that, Steve?
The times are from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. And that's, of course, it's a Saturday.
Okay.
That's your basic general admission. With general admission, basically how I kind of designed the event is to kind of spread people around a little bit, not keep them all close together.
Right.
As you know, the museum's upstairs on the second floor in rooms 202 and 203. But the convention part and the few vendors we do have are going to be downstairs, and I'm going to be using two different rooms, so people will be pretty much spread out a good bit.
Okay.
And, of course, we'll be doing the 6-foot spacing and different things like that, and just really working at keeping things as safe as possible. We are, of course, West Virginia is under the mask, you know, ruling. But again, like as you said earlier, if you do have a breathing condition, it's hard, you know, and wearing a mask poses a problem for the individual, then it's okay not to wear a mask.
Right. Right. And now, Jim and I were talking, I was trying to remember, I think this may be the third year we've done this with you. I'm not sure. But
I think it is. Yeah, I think you're right on that.
But, yeah, we had such a good time the last time when you had those new haunted dolls that you would unbox for everybody. Is that going to be a theme going forward, where every year you do it, you have a new relic to unbox?
Yeah, this year's going to be, I added something I wanted to last year, but just didn't really, I didn't have a lot of folks coming in who had other haunted items. So this year I was able to do that. We just today lost one of the special guests because, I think it was one student or one of the faculty members or something ended up testing positive in his child's school, and they're under quarantine or something like that, so he's not going to be able to make it. That's Chris Sanders.
Okay.
So, unfortunately,
wow.
He's not going to be there. But we do have Ed Bowden coming and Darren Tin and myself. The one aspect we're going to be adding to is a haunted relic panel. So I was kind of hoping to get people who have haunted items to just kind of sit up front and just do like a Q&A with people about maybe their, you know, whatever the guests want to talk about or you know, question them about, you know, how do you, what's, you know, the ins and outs of collecting haunted items, the risks and different things like that.
Right, right. Now, I know we have personally never had an opportunity to, I guess, purposely possess a haunted item, such as, you know, a doll or a piece of clothing that has an attachment or something of the like. But what was it that, because when we first met you, you were running the tours and the investigations through the penitentiary, and this kind of was a dream that you were trying to realize, this museum of yours. What was it that got you into wanting to collect all these haunted items?
You know, when I first started working at the prison is when I seriously started getting into paranormal research with my friends Dave and Ryan, and eventually our friend Jason joined our YouTube channel Paranormal Quest. Basically what got me interested in actually collecting items on a more serious note was when we went to Gettysburg to do a meet and greet with Alexandra Holzer at a, it was like a paranormal spiritualist type of museum. It was called the International Museum of Spiritual Investigations. It hasn't been around for years. But when I went in there, I was like, this is pretty interesting. And at that time in my life, I owned a gym and fitness center and a diner. And in the diner, I had an empty room. I didn't know what I was going to do with it. And being that I was already into doing tours and different things like that, into tourism and stuff like that, I thought, well, I could do like a little museum myself and add like a little something extra to the diner and tap into the foot traffic of the tourism of the area, which would bring people in who might want to eat as well. And that's pretty much how the museum got started.
See, now, I was not even aware that, I mean, I knew you had other business ventures before that, but I was not aware that you had multiple at the same time. That's pretty interesting, actually. So you've always had a flair for the actual business side of things as far as how to pull one off, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't you went into the archives of the afterlife with no real business model because you'd already done it before.
Yeah, I started it. I hem-hawed around about the notion of doing it, and to be honest, I basically set aside $50 and just started collecting people's paranormal accounts, their opinions on different paranormal theories, different things like that, and then little by little, items came in from paranormal cases. Haunted items came in from paranormal cases. I started collecting funerary and mortuary items as kind of unique conversation starters, and that's just kind of how the archive came to be and how it's continued to grow.
Okay, now, like I said, I know that the cap is the one that always draws my attention. I always feel gravitational pull towards that part of your establishment, but what is, if you had to pick one that the patrons who come and frequent your museum ask you the most about, what would it be?
At this point now, there are multiple ones because it's kind of been around a little while now. Through word of mouth and different things like that, people have learned about some of the haunted items that tend to be the most active. It's really hard to say now. I'd say maybe the cap or Annie.
Okay, is that the painting that Haley was drawn to when we brought her by?
The portrait of the lady in the black case?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Annie, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it's just, everybody seems to have a question about that. It's history. Do you know who she is? All that type of thing.
Yeah. We've learned a great deal about her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've been able. It took me about 2 years, but I was able to find out where she was buried. Was able to find out where her two daughters are buried, her mom's buried, her grandmother. It's just, you know, she at one point towards the later part of her life, she and her daughter Lila had a grocery store together up in East Liverpool. Her one daughter, Pearl, she had two daughters. Pearl committed suicide, unfortunately. You know, there's a lot of little things you've been able to pick up so far.
Very cool, very cool. So now I know the history of things. That's where Jim excels at. So it's no wonder that he's drawn there, especially with all of your relics from wars past. And, you know, Haley is very much into the research aspect of things, getting somebody's name and trying to find all the history that they can about that specific person or place or have, what have you. Me, I just kind of carry on equipment and try not to fall.
Right.
and I just saw you had sent it through the other day, it was about a week maybe, that you had popped up a new episode on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, we just popped up a new episode. Let me see here. Let me pull it up, give you some the ins and outs on it. I can't use my phone. Do this here without turning the... Let's see here. We just got done actually shooting one out in Indiana. That'll be coming up here soon. Yeah, the last one we just produced that came out was the haunted John Dillinger Jail, which of course is Crown Point, out in Crown Point, Indiana.
Right.
And we did the the Haunted House of Tragedy. It's a private residence in Wheeling. It's one of the ones we don't disclose where we were at. It was a murder-suicide. And the reason we haven't really put out any information about it, where it is because the last thing that the individual who took his life said is, I put her body in a place that no one will ever find her. So technically, she's deceased, but she's still... No one's been able to find her body yet. So
I guess because of the time that she's been missing, she's been termed as dead, but technically she could just be missing? Or has it been that long ago?
Well, the way he put it, he murdered her.
Okay.
And he just basically hid what he'd done. So, and it's a local case. It's somewhat current, so we left a couple of the details kind of vague just out of respect. But a friend of mine and museum volunteer, her brother purchased the house, and she wanted us to come and investigate it. It's already been stripped all the way down to just the support beams and different things, and down to the bare walls and stuff like that. But you could definitely see where some of the traces of the matter from the suicide was, different things like that. But it was a very interesting investigation. We did make communication with the lady, we feel, and the guy who took his own life. So we feel we definitely were able to reach out to her and try to help her cross over, basically.
Okay, and I've posted a link to that page, to your Paranormal Quest YouTube channel, in the comments for everybody to go check out. There's a couple in there, I'll be honest, I have not seen them all, but there's a couple that really grabbed my attention. What is this one, this Cursed Cabin? I'm looking forward to getting through that one.
Yeah, that's a three-part one right there.
Yeah, that seems... It seems pretty interesting so far.
One instance on that where our friend Jason got scratched, that actually was accepted for Paranormal Caught on Camera on Travel Channel. After people, if you want to watch the, part one, part two, part three of The Cursed Cabin, you could find it on season 2, episode 19. It's a pretty
okay.
cool show.
Okay, awesome. I'll have to check that out as well. Now, the one right above part one is called The Haunting of the Anchorage, and I'm not familiar with that building, but it looks really familiar. Like it's almost like something out of a TV show, like an old 60s TV show. I don't know why this looks familiar.
It's a beautiful place. You guys should definitely investigate the Anchorage. Our good friends from Hidden Marietta Walking Tours, they run the tours through the building, and they do offer public, and right now I think it's private investigations only due to the you know, the situation going on with the world today.
Right, right. Okay.
But
and of course
it's not that expensive. Oh. It's an amazing place to investigate.
Okay. Well, I'll have to put that on the list of things to check out. The haunting of the Anchorage Inn, is the Anchorage Inn? Is that what it is?
And,
or Anchorage Mansion. Okay.
Just called the Anchorage.
Okay. Okay. And of course you have the Bel Air, which, you know, we are all too familiar with. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, and again, we were going to do that this weekend, but it just didn't work out. So we had to pull out of that. But, you know, we're always anxious to get back there. That's where I had probably my most intimate, in a spiritual sense, event happen, at least for me, was right there at the Bel Air. So that place will always be near and dear to me. So, what's on the, I mean, I know with the way things are in the world today and the limitations that's put on all of us in the field, it's kind of hard to really gauge what we can and can't do and where we can and can't go. But as far as what you have scheduled, is there anything coming up that you wanted to, that you were kind of excited about?
Well, of course, this weekend, as of right now, I don't have anything with the museum. I don't have anything lined up after, you know, after this weekend, after the Haunted Relic Expo. I know PQ were always looking for reasons and excuses to get out on the road and get investigations in and keep bringing material for the people who watch and support us, to for them to enjoy and to watch and critique and message us about and different things like that. We also have, let me pull it up here. I don't have it memorized. Let's do here. One second. Yeah, I don't remember. Awesome. I got to tape it out. We have, my friends and I have, we have our own little haunted tour company started here, and we have two locations. Scheduled in the works. One's actually this Friday. Wait for Facebook to keep up. Hold on. Crying out loud. Yeah, we have, you know, I'm just going to get the website. This is ridiculous. Thank you, man, too. Yeah, I don't tell you the correct thing here. I'm going to go to the website and do this. We just sold out the Twin City Opera House for July. Okay.
Oh, okay.
We just,
yeah, now
we've
done that. And just a quick note on that place. It is a beautiful place with great history. The town hall, which is across the street from it, is unbelievably active. Like I said, we just pulled up and got out of my truck, and as soon as I got out, I was more pulled towards going across the street than I was the Opera House. But the Opera House was awesome. The only thing I will say, and I'm not sure if you've been there yet or not, but the acoustics in that place are so perfect, as you know, as a good Opera House would be, that if you split up groups and have a few people here and a few people there, you're almost positively going to step over audio. We were up in the talk, and Rob and Nikki were down in the very sub-basement, and we could hear every word they said, so.
Yeah, we only saw, like, I think, what is it, 12 or 15 spots for that. It's a public event.
Okay.
The other two that we have lined up coming up, if there are tickets available, August 2nd is at the Fairfield County Infirmary, and then August 9th, we're selling spots for Madison Seminary.
Okay. And now Adam owns both of those, doesn't he?
Correct.
Adam was Adam Kimmel, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few videos on those places, especially the Madison Seminary. Both unbelievably active and fairly reasonably priced for investigations, I think, as far as I could see.
We investigated Madison once before. That's also on our it's been a while back. Yeah,
right.
But we haven't personally investigated Fairfield yet. I know we've been talking about it and heard a lot of good about it.
Yeah. Now, our good friend Mike Simpson, you know Mike Simpson. I believe he's done both, so he's fairly familiar with them.
Yeah, he said he'll be able to make it this year, too. He'll be here at the Honored Relic Expo.
Okay.
They both have some size, so,
They're both large enough buildings that you can get a decent amount of people or a large enough team in there without having to worry about trampling over your own evidence type of thing, you know?
Right.
So.
I got to hand it to you, Steve. You're very inventive. You're always looking at new opportunities. Bless you, son.
I appreciate it. I think I just get bored too easy. I got to keep busy.
That's good for you. I'm so glad.
Well, you know, creativity keeps the mind going, keeps the brain juices flowing, and from what I've always heard is it's things like that curiosity and that desire to seek and explore and investigate whatever it may be kind of staves off those things that can happen in the brain, dementia, Alzheimer's, those things kind of get pushed back the more active and stimulated you keep your brain. So,
well, I'll definitely keep doing that then.
Hey, I'll tell you one more thing, not related to the paranormal, but you're becoming quite the artist. That stuff, some of those pictures you're creating here are really quite exceptional. You've got a really very interesting eye, and you can see your technique refining. It's you're really getting good there.
I appreciate it. I just end up, it's pretty much all I get to do anymore now is commission work, it's fine. What's that?
No, that's fabulous. It really is. I mean, who knows? You know, unfortunately, most artists have to pass away before they become famous. Maybe you'll break the mold.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind making some money like, what is that, Thomas Kincaid. That'd be nice.
Right.
But you know what? He's into paranormal, so he can be famous on both sides, right?
Sure.
He's famous for the art now, and then when he passes over, we'll talk to him about it from the other side.
There you go.
Works for me.
So, now I know you're, as far as your investigation style goes, you're more of an old school. You have the cameras, and you have a few little pieces of equipment, but you don't do a whole lot from what you were saying before with a lot of the newer, more technological pieces of equipment like I do, because I just have to. I can't pick up anything, you know. So I need all that stuff to help me out. So you're still more
right.
of a REM pod here or a K2 there, right?
Yeah. We try to keep it as simple as possible. Especially for our approach, since day one, since we started doing PQs, and before we even did our first episode, we told ourselves we want to do documentary filmmaking. We want to do the documentary filmmaking approach for paranormal investigating. And in many ways, I'm not saying we're the originals to do that, but we were pretty much doing that before it was popular. Which is fine, you know. The more The more videos, the more documentary style, you know, paranormal projects out there, the better. You know, the better. The more people, other people will have something to research from and watch or just enjoy, you know. But when we do our investigations, you know, we spend, like just, you know, this yesterday, we spend anywhere from 10, 12 up to 14 hours doing all, you know, all the shots that we need. We get on location, we shoot B-roll, tear down, you know, exchange batteries, do 2 to 3 interviews at two or three different locations on the, wherever the location's at, tear down, switch batteries out, set up to do an abandonment technique, go and make sure we have enough batteries. You know, we'll have to go to the store, grab some more batteries, come back, tear down from abandonment. We normally do 2 and 2 investigating together, and then we each four take a solo mission for about a half hour to 45 minutes at location, and then we try to finish up where we all four are together doing normally like a pedal box session or something like that. And then it's tear down from that and make sure the location's the way, you know, the way it was when we left it. And then Ryan and Dave do pretty much evidence review. Ryan does the editing, and Ryan spends anywhere from 80 to 120 hours just editing and, you know, producing the finished video, you know. And we're doing all that on, he's doing that on a full-time job, Dave's doing it on a full-time job, I'm doing it with, you know, what little bit I can with having the museum doing my artwork. You know, just, it, you know, it's what we love doing, you know, but it does take its toll.
Oh, I'm sure. It's definitely a labor of love. I know I still personally on my PC here, I only have, I don't know, 400 or 500 gigabytes of video data to review. And I just, it wasn't happening between investigations, 3 kids, and while I was still in school, you know, time to sit and just watch a video, let alone pick it apart for every little thing you can to see if you've got something or not that's legit, just was few and far between, you know. So, trust me, I feel their pain.
Yeah, it's a labor of love, you know. I mean, on the way home to, you know, today, we had got to the location. We left here on Wednesday, yeah. I left around 9 and then got over to St. Clairsville. Then we drove over and we probably went to sleep about 5 o'clock the next morning. Got about an hour and a half, got up. Ryan had to knock out a few other more slider shots for B-roll while the rest of us packed everything up and did a sweep through the building and make sure no water bottles were left around, all the batteries were accounted for, and so on and so forth, and made it here, about 4 o'clock? About 4 o'clock. My friend Vicky's here. She watched the museum for me, you know, while I was gone. And, yeah, I'm just kind of sitting here vegetating now from it. Just still feel like I got jet lag from it all, so.
Steve, did I meet somewhere where your group recently submitted some evidence to a paranormal caught on camera?
Yeah, we were on that. Yeah, season 2, episode 19.
Right, okay.
It was for the cursed cabin. That's where Jason got scratched.
Okay.
And what we actually, Vicky and I, and maybe Dave and Ryan, depending on their work schedule, we'll be actually going back down to said cabin and retrieving a haunted item from that cabin. Just not sure exactly when we'll get to do that.
Yeah.
About 4 or 5 hours away.
And really, you know, that shows really gets a lot of really fascinating clips that are, a lot of that stuff's very difficult to explain.
Yeah, they've had some pretty neat evidence on there, I think.
I do. The one I was just watching, you know, I have it. I record that show on our with our cable and all, so that, you know, I have it in the archive. And I was just watching one from the other day. It was up in New Hampshire, and it was a little shop where they had baked goods. And it was the shop camera during the broad daylight, and this large glass, you know, like muffin or bakery glass display thing, like a five-pound object, literally lifted itself off without bothering the muffins that were in the pan, and then proceeded to slide across a counter and shatter itself onto the floor. And the young girl, they said it was a quiet day, the young girl who had been minding the store had just left to check on some, heard the breaking glass and came in and saw this thing broken on the floor. Then they reviewed the tape. And, you know, it's just the way it literally, like, picked itself up and moved itself quite a bit. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, that, they always, you know, I know a lot of times you have stuff, and, you know, a lot of that stuff's open for what people, you know, what people might say, and, of course, you know, with anything, I guess anything can be fudged, but a lot of that stuff is legitimate. I know at the Lookout House, we've done a lot lately of table tipping there at the house with the spirits. And, you know, sometimes...
Hey,
go on.
Before I forget, real quick, remind me to ask you about the Lookout House.
Okay.
After all this, I didn't want to forget. You reminded me of something I was thinking about yesterday.
But yeah, we sometimes we've had sessions there that are just amazing. The way the spirit's right on top of it, moving the table all about, answering yes and no questions, and revealing quite a bit about itself. You know, we'll ask a lot of questions. And one of the neat things is sometimes just as you're asking a question, the table's already responding. So we asked Spirit before whether or not it knew what we were going to say sometimes before we said it, and it confirmed that. Because sometimes you don't even get the question out of your mouth, maybe the first third of it, and it's answering already. It's really weird. Yeah, go on. You had a question about the Lookout House then?
Yeah, do they offer allow teams to come investigate it privately?
Yeah.
Okay, because I remember you talked about it a lot.
Yeah, it's I'll tell you, it's very unique. It's a real intelligent spirit that's there. Supposedly, like any place, there are a couple portals. I do know that spirits seem to come and go. We've had certain spirits we know from their energy signatures have appeared there before, but then they're gone. You know, it's not like they take up any kind of permanent residence. We had the one little girl from the Bel Air house that likes Dave so much. She was there one time, and we knew it was her from her energy signature. We had a really wild occurrence there one time when they were hosting a large group. I think it was a business venture where the people were not spending the night at the house, but more or less just coming in to have a 3 or 4 hour window experience with the paranormal. And it was a large group. It was close to 18, 19 people, which is really a little too large. And anyhow, while I was talking Spirit in and getting things going, I made a point of inviting any spirits on the grounds to come in and join us. And it was during that period when, unbeknownst to me, there was a lady in the group, and they were in the room adjacent to the parlor, standing, and she heard someone at the back door, so she goes, there was a gentleman there. and he asked if he could come in, and she thought it was part of the group, so she opened the door and let the guy in, and he came in and joined him in the dining room area, and then later he left and went back, and then it came out that he wasn't real. He was a spirit that had come in off of the grounds. And people had seen him, and they'd seen him leave. And then the spirit, when we were table tipping, the table acknowledged that he was a spirit and had come in off the grounds. Really weird. And then we laid Dave and Steve and a third person, all later saw something walking around on the grounds outside when they had gone out to check it out. So sometimes stuff happens, you're not even sure what's happening. But there's a really neat, intelligent spirit there. I never really picked up on anything with the negativity side, but others have. And there's quite a few areas of activity. The attic is normally very active. There's a number of the bedrooms that are active. The parlor is always active. The library has a set bunch of spirits. And then there's spirits generally in the basement as well. And they seem to like to do a lot of kinetic stuff. We've had them move pencils. We've had them move balls, you know, like playground balls, large balls for children. We've had them operate with a lot of equipment. But, yeah, you can arrange a group there with, you know, just call Pam and Steve, and depending on availability and stuff. And, yeah, by all means, I think your group would really enjoy it.
And they've done some nice upgrades. So there's some king-size beds in there, and just a real nice place. You're not going to find, as far as we've ever seen, any kind of negative or malevolent energies there. It's all very peaceful and accommodating. And the grounds themselves actually have just a good feel to them. You know, they have a nice large wraparound porch on the building, and there's two sets of patio furniture that you can just kind of go out and relax and ground yourself with. It's really a nice place.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at a picture from it, and I think I just got done chatting with you about the show tonight, and I thought, well, shoot, you know, I should, for some reason, I always, you know, hear you guys talk about Lookout House and whatnot, and I figured, well, definitely check and see if they would be willing or open to the idea of, you know, us four from Paranormal Quest coming in and maybe investigating there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've had a number of notable investigators, not you know, aside from Jim and myself. You've had, I know the Ghost Brothers were there. Jack Kenna's been there. What's his name, the guy? God, his escapes. Oh, Carl and James Anito, the duo Demonology, have both been there. You know, it's a really nice place, and like I said, you can stay there. It's on Airbnb. The rates are really reasonable. It's very comfortable. The one bathroom that goes in between the two of the rooms that are for rent, it's a huge bathroom, giant shower. I love that place, man.
What are they, just off memory, what do they normally charge per night per room?
Honestly, off the top of my head, I know the Americana is a little bit more expensive, but that is because it is the larger of the rooms. It's more of a suite. I'm not sure if it's in place yet, but they're working on getting a sleeper sofa in there, so you had the king bed plus a sleeper sofa.
And they're willing to do some deals and all that stuff, too. So
right. Let me pull it up on here.
We definitely would like to have the room by itself. Or the, you know, we would obviously would prefer having the whole place to ourselves.
Oh, yeah, of course. Let me see if I can pull it up on the Airbnb. Here it is. So the Americana is, if you go through Airbnb, is $150 for the night. And the other two are a little less than that. But like I said, if you were to call and talk with Pam and Steve and tell them you're going to do an investigation and that you'd like to get the whole place, they work out a deal with you. And it kind of, I'm not sure how they work it out, but they do. And like I said, they can either do it up where you want a public, or you can just be you four guys. Now, of course, they would be there because, you know, not only do they operate the place, but they live there. But they actually, we had it not so long ago where they actually slept out in their camper so that we could have the whole place to ourselves. So they're very, very accommodating. So like I said, just if you were to get a hold of Pam and Steve and just, you know, tell them what you're thinking, they'll work with you.
Okay. Absolutely, yeah, definitely. I'll probably look into that for us.
And like I said, it's not just the house, but there's on the grounds there's a building that used to be an old schoolhouse, and in that building we actually have something that belongs to Jim there. Last year's bash, they had an object on for the silent auction. And what it was this old steel prison door. And when we found out the history of it, it was the jail that's in Chambersburg right now that houses the Historical Society was the second jail, the original jail in Chambersburg, dating back to its inception, burnt to the ground. The only thing that survived was this steel door. And a woman had come into possession of and decided she didn't want it, and she donated it to Pam and Steve for the auction, for the silent auction, for the bash, and no one had bid on it. So Jim said, "That's, you know, you just can't let that go to waste," so he bought it. And we keep it over there, and it's out in that building. So, and we've got some activity off of it.
You still there?
Yeah, we still hear you.
Okay, sounded like the cut off there for a minute. There we go. Yeah.
So yeah
definitely.
That's still out there, so you can go out there and you know, pop some equipment around that and see what kind of feelings you get off that door as well.
For sure.
Well, we want to thank you for taking some time, man. I know, like you said, you've been busy, you've been running, you've been here, you've been there. Sleep is at a premium. Trust me, I know exactly what that feels like lately. So we want to thank you for taking some time out of your day. I know you got a lot of prep and planning and things to get done before Saturday. So thanks for taking some time, and we glad to hear from you again, and we will see you on Saturday.
Absolutely. It's always a blast being on your guys' show.
All right, we really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Take care, and we'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, we'll have some fun Saturday.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, good night. Thanks, man.
Hey, you too. Be safe. Take care.
Yep. All right, everybody, that was Steve Hummel, Archives of the Afterlife. Look it up on Facebook or just Google it. And if you ever get a chance to get over to that area, you got to check it out. It's got some really, really neat stuff in it. The history of it is great. The building itself is haunted. It's really a cool little place. I don't think it's, a couple bucks to get in.
Yeah,
it's a couple bucks.
Very unique.
Very, very unique. And it's got it all. It's got pictures. It's got old World War I, World War II memorabilia. It's got haunted dolls. It's got bed frames from old asylums. It's got the cap from old Sparky that they used to put prisoners to death with electrocution in the electric chair at Moundsville. I mean, if you're into the oddities and the paranormal and the strange things that other people kind of shy away from, if that's what you're into, if something there is going to pull your attention. So we really advise getting a chance to get over there. And, hey, why not do it this Saturday while we're going to be there, you know? We'd love to see you. Everybody just, a couple people just tuned in. Our friend Chris Sanders just tuned in. I'm glad everything's going well with you. They just had an investigation of a place up in Maine. They had some good spirit box activity I saw from their live feed. Kayla Miner, who we were just with a few weeks back, and had some pretty cool doings there. And, of course, our teammate, Haley Eisenhart, jumped in. I know she's been busy. She's turning her whole backyard into damn near entire garden back there, and it's been looking real well from the pictures she's been posting. So kudos for that. Next week we will be at Thaddeus Stevens from Thursday through Sunday. There are going to be people who were coming to the bash that even though the bash got canceled, they said to hell with it, we're coming anyway. So they're still going to be in Gettysburg, and a few of them have already said they're going to stop over. I know the Haldeman was putting up a four-hour investigation on Saturday night from 8 to midnight for free. Anybody who wanted to come by just had to get a hold of Melissa Keller early enough to let them know so they could, you know, see how many people they had coming. But we'll be at Thaddeus Stevens. Anybody who wants to investigate with us, you know, just you got to give us a shout because it's only going to be three or four people because it's just not big enough place to have more than that. So we want to make sure we space people out enough that people can come in. And even if you don't want to investigate, you can just kind of stop by and check the place out. You know, we'll be there during the day since we don't have to actually go to the bash. So,
Wow, you know, I'll report on this next time. I'm just flipping around here on coast to coast. Evidently, Russia just reopened and formed a new investigation into that
Dyatlov
Pass incident. Russian officials have announced a reopened investigation into the infamous Dyatlov Pass incident, determined that an avalanche and subsequent hypothermia were to blame for the tragic event, but not everyone's convinced of the findings.
Wow.
Well, I'll have to check into that report. That's pretty wild, yeah.
So next week's show will be the two-hour show. It will be on Live Paranormal's page, and it will be from the backyard of the Thaddeus Stevens Log Cabin. And if you're coming into town, stop on over. We'll have some chairs. We'll have some ice water, some bottles of water. We'll space everybody out and come on over and be part of the show. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. So stay well, stay safe, stay spooky. We'll see you next week.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.